search us. Lord, know us. Know us when we sit down. Know us when we rise up. You understand our thoughts. And you comprehend the path and where we lie down. And you know where the idols in our hearts are. Lord, help us to establish you on the throne inside our own heart. And Lord, there's not even a word that goes out on our tongue that you do not know altogether before that. We want you to hedge us in from behind and in front of us. Lord, it's wonderful to think that the God of the universe would bend his ear down to hear us, to touch us, to fill us. Where can we go from your presence? For you are there. If we ascend to heaven, you're there. If we go to hell, you're there. You know, Lord, you're there in the mornings. You're there in the middle of the night. You're there to fill our hearts with love and joy and peace as we draw near to you. Help us today to tear down those idols that find that they've climbed up onto the altar of our heart and desire that we feed them. And so, Lord, search us and try us and examine us as we open up your word today. Let us not look at others, but let us look at our own hearts first and foremost. It's your presence. And when we're in your presence, where we feel and we know we are whole. And so, Lord, we hunger and thirst to be in that place continually. Not just here in worship one day a week. So Lord, teach us today in Jesus' name. And all of God's children say amen. Hallelujah. Go around and greet about 15 people. Ezekiel chapter 20. We found that God has raised his hand. He's raised it in a promise. He's searched out a great place for us. And there's only one condition. And we saw that in verse 6, he's raised his hand. He's promising us to bring us out of Egypt. He's promised to take us to this land that he's searched out for us. And it's a good place. Then in verse 7, this is the key to understanding Ezekiel 20. This is the key to understanding the heart of God. And he says that each of you should throw away the abominations which are before your eyes. Do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And we found that in that verse 7, that's the heart of God. Once you become a Christian, it's now in the wilderness time when we're supposed to start throwing off the idols in our lives. I'm going to give you great understanding today in what that means so that we can understand. You know, Egypt had lots of gods and suns and moons that they worshipped and that. But what I want us to look at is what do we have in America? And the greatest thing that I'm seeing in the church and in Christianity in itself, and how are we going to get rid of this? Because that's what God wants. He wants us to throw it away. And I want you to get this visual picture that inside your heart, there's an altar there. And that altar is reserved and designed for God. And he's supposed to be established on that altar. That's where he says in the scripture here, in verse 7, I am the Lord your God. So he should be on the throne in your personal heart. I think for Christians, for most of us, it's easy to know, oh yeah, God's on the throne in heaven. Many staff members will come to me and they'll go, you know, Chaplain Bemis, what's up? You know, and I say, well, God, I checked with him this morning. He's still on the throne. He's got everything under control. And if we all laugh. You know, it's easy for us to kind of picture God on that throne, but today what I want you to see is God on this throne, on the throne inside your heart. And I'm here to tell you, I think in most churches, most Christians, that's not true. We have God on the throne in heaven, but he's really not been established on the throne in our heart. And I'm going to show you why in a minute. Now, because he wants, and we are designed for that. We're designed to worship God. And we don't understand that, like, when we go to McDonald's and we go in there and we're thinking that we should just order a ordinary, you know, maybe fish sandwich because that's good for us, what happens? The idol of self crawls back up on that throne again and say, well, wait a minute here, it's all about me. And we start worshiping and feeding the idol of self, the idol of me. And so what do? When we walk in there, we don't get the milkshake, we get the supersized milkshake. We don't get the fries, we get the supersized fries. Because who's on the throne at that moment? Me, self. And I'm here to tell you, my biggest battle is not Satan. My biggest battle is the idol of self. Because self, that guy, he just keeps climbing up there and it's all about him at that moment. Now, when I became a Christian, I wanted everybody to know I was a Christian. So I got me a Christian hat, I got me Christian t-shirts, I got me a Christian cross, because at that point, self was still on the throne, and the only way I could show anybody I'm a Christian is to wrap it in Christianity. And I think a lot of Christians are that way. You ever see that? You walk into some people's offices, business offices, and they've got 39 crosses on the wall. You know, but then they go out and you hear them cussing, you see them smoking, you see them going to the parties and drinking. You know, we're wrapped in Christianity, especially in America. America is wrapped in Christianity. We have all kinds of stuff on our walls to show that we're Christian, but who's on the throne of your heart? That's what God's talking about. Now, let's go to verse 35. We talked about it. After salvation comes wilderness. In the wilderness is when God wants to meet with us face to face. Did you hear that? God wants to meet with you face to face. He has no problem meeting with you face to face. The problem is that idol of self, and we don't realize how much we worship self. We know we should get up in the morning maybe and read our Bible, but what does self say? Self says, oh, no, you need 15 more minutes on the pillow. You know, you need 15 more minutes, you know, watching TV. You need 15 more minutes, whatever it is. And so that's what I want you to see today as we talk about this. God wants to meet with us face to face. He has no problem pointing out, if you will allow him, and you need to start. Now notice that what we read in verse 7 was that you have to throw this thing out. This needs to be an act of violence. It's an act of discipline. It is an act of, I don't want to do that, but you do it anyway. Okay? And so I want you to see it's not pretty. But God will meet with you face to face. He'll plead his case. This is why you act the way you act. This is why you think the way you think. But most of us don't, I don't know, that's getting a little personal. You know, so God was challenging me. He says, yeah, people know you're a Christian on the outside, but what about on the inside? You know, and so I set out in a path and a journey of what we call like a lifestyle of holiness, which means I want to establish God on the throne of my heart so that he's there, he's standing there or sitting there, and I worship him and worship him alone. And you will find that idol of self, man, he does not want to die easy. Or am I the only one that struggles with that? Every time I turn around, that guy's somehow he's gone behind my back. He's sneaky. He's sneaky. You know, and he gets up there real quick because he's all about me. You know, God says in his word, he has all these commandments, he has all these things for us, and they're all good. And yet we look at it and go, nope, that's not what I want. So who's on the throne at that moment? Self is on the throne. And we have to dethrone him. And we have to learn what this is all about. And then we see, in verse 38, we talked about it last week, I will purge the rebels from among you. So God, through the fires of affliction, is how he points out the idol of self is still on the throne and how you need to throw him down. You know, I don't know how many of you ever played this game when you were a child, but we used to play King of the Hill. You know, you find a little dirt pile, and then somebody gets up there, and everybody else is trying to throw him off. Well, that's what it is. You need to run up that hill, tackle yourself, throw yourself down, and then establish Jesus Christ on the throne. Now, and I'm here to say that's an everyday battle. One of the things that that's been said to us when we've been down in Mexico on missionary trips is one pastor looked at me and he says, "Man, you guys got a lot of fat sheep." He was saying, us Christians are fat. Well, whose fault is that? The idol of self. The idol of self. You know, and I'm just the same. I find him there all the time. Every time I go to Sonic, that idol of self, he gets up on that throne real quick. You know, he never wants a Sprite, you know, small. You know, he wants that cappuccino, frappuccino, caramel, you know, I mean, he wants, you know. And so what we have to start realizing is as we meet face to face with God is get him on the throne. And we don't understand how fast that things happen and how fast things change. Okay? But he's the refiner's fire. And unfortunately, the only choice we leave God at times is the fires of affliction to finally get our attention. You ever notice, the guy goes to the hospital, he can't breathe, they put him on oxygen, he's been smoking cigarettes for a long time, the doctor comes in and confronts him and says, "You're going to die, quit smoking cigarettes." And all of a sudden he quits smoking cigarettes. I think sometimes our love has gotten so weak and we're so worried about what other people are going to think about us, we won't do any confrontation like that. We won't go up to somebody and say, "You know, I love you, but you're overweight." God has a plan. You put God on the throne, establish him on the throne, and before you eat anything, go ask him. Ooh, we don't want to do that. Now, I'm talking from experience. I want verse 41, look at verse 41 in Ezekiel. I want this to be about my life. That I will accept you as a sweet aroma. I will bring you out from the people, gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. I want my life to be a sweet aroma to God. But one of the first things that happened was the pastor at the church in Washington State where I became a Christian, one of the first things he did is he invited me to a men's Bible study on Monday night. Ooh, I found self on the throne real quick. Oh, well, wait a minute here. You don't mess with my Monday night football. That's how you know self's still on the throne. Generally, football's not the problem. It's self on the throne. Self says, you're not messing with my football. And boy, then what happens? Then you must take and fight him and drag him off the throne and say, "No, I'm going to establish Jesus on the throne of my heart, period, no matter what it costs." That's the hardest thing in the world to do. Then, I finally did that. And then, the Lord was challenging me to disconnect cable, television. And it's kind of like, "Okay, God, you can mess with football. I let you mess with football. I let you mess with this." Oh, my gosh, cable? I can't get all the football games. I can't get, you know. And you fight, and I don't care how long it takes you. You fight until you get self off the throne and you surrender to God, because all God wants to do is break all the strongholds off in your life so you can worship him and him alone. But we, now, this message, the Holy Spirit has told me, he's going to burn it into your memory, and all week long you're going to realize how often self comes out and wants you to glorify self. Now, let's get a better understanding of this. Let's go to Galatians. Let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say. And let's go to chapter 2. Many of us have memorized this, and my challenge to everyone is to memorize this scripture, because that will help you keep the idol of self off the throne. And to understand, it's not easy. This is hard. This is the hardest thing that God did in my life. He says, "I don't want them to see a Christian baseball cap on your head. I want them to see Jesus in your eyes. I want them to hear Jesus out of your mouth. I want you to touch and walk like Jesus did. You know, the Word says, Paul says, be an imitator of me as I'm an imitator of what? Of Jesus Christ. So when people look at you, what do they see? Do they see that you're an imitator of self and the world? Or do they see that you're an imitator of Jesus Christ? Now, again, you answer that within your own heart. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. What did Paul just say there? Paul says that he has to crucify the idol of self. You got to go up there, tackle him, drag him down, and nail him to the floor. But the problem is we're living sacrifice, so he just keeps coming back. You know, but the more and more you run up and you jump on him and you throw him off and nail him down, the more and more it's easier, and more Jesus is established. The reason the church in America is overweight is because of the idol of self is on the throne in the person's heart and not God. Afraid to meet God face to face. You know, because God might say, you know, I remember the time when in this pursuit of holiness, in this pursuit to establish once and for all Jesus Christ on the throne of my heart, I remember him saying, I want you off of caffeine. Oh, well, now, wait a minute. You messed with TV, you've messed with my food, and now you're going to mess with my caffeine. You know, and he says, and my caffeine, my choice of brown stuff was Coca-Cola. I'm not a coffee drinker or anything. And so he says, here's your options. You can have iced tea, it has a little bit of caffeine, but not much, and you can have Sprite, or you can have water. I'm like, man, that's almost all clear stuff. You know, and again, it took me probably 2 weeks, as I'm hearing God say that, it took me 2 weeks to get him off the throne. It's hard to get self off the throne. And you will not believe, as you start paying attention to this, it's all the time. In relationships, you'll find out, maybe you haven't really put the other person as an idol, but you've put yourself as an idol and you say, it's all about me. I don't care what God says. You know, I want that person. I'm going to go get that person. Instead of saying, self, I told you once before, I'll tell you again, get off the throne. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting to hear him say, that's the one. And then I'll sing that glory hallelujah chorus. Now, are we listening? So he says, I've been crucified with Christ. Now, is crucifixion pretty? There's no pretty way to get self off the throne. It's all ugly. And you got to tear him down, beat him up. And like I said, the next thing you know, you'll nail him to the floor, and the next thing you know, he'll be right around your back, and he'll be back up, and you're like, how did he do that? And he gets there so fast. It's the idol of self that I believe is the root of every sin. The sin is not the problem. The temptation is not the problem. The problem is we've had many years of feeding the idol of self. And self gets what self wants. Mm-hmm. And many times, self gets what self wants at whatever the price. And then a few years down the road, you're like, oh my, what did I just do? We have an epidemic amongst teenagers, amongst children right now. They're very fat and very fluffy. We have an epidemic in that diabetes is on the rise horribly. Why? Because self says, I want. Not, you know, we pour out our bowl of Lucky Charms, and then we put 2 scoops of sugar on because self says, feed me. I need sugar. I want sugar. And then all of a sudden we're in diabetes. And then we're like, oh God, how did that happen? No, the idol of self. That's all. And self, oh, self is established. Look at any two-year-old. Is not self on the throne of any two-year-old? We were up there visiting Leah, and there's Christina, who's just cute as a bug's ear, although I don't know of any bug that has an ear, but she's just so cute and so funny. And I remember Leah says, Christina, you got to pick up those toys now. And she says, I don't want them. 2 years old. Looked at him, I don't want them. Leah says, not an option. You know, and she gets to work and she does it. But self's on the throne. And as parents and as ourselves, we got to get self off the throne. And I'm here to say, self, most idols of self look like Buddha. Because we have fed them so well. We've given them whatever they want. Oh, you want to sleep in some more? Okay, go ahead, honey. They're soft, they're flabby, they got that big old belly, and we just rub it. Aye, aye, aye. Chapter 5, turn to your neighbor and say, I don't think it's going to get any easier. This is the word of, this is where, what I want you to see is I want you to confront the idol of self. And I think the idol of self is so, so large in the church today. But the first thing you got to do is tackle it in your own life so that other people see Jesus Christ is established on your throne, and that's the only thing that you worship. You don't worship anything else. Chapter 5, look at verse 13. We're going to start there. For you, brethren and sisterin, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Now here it is. We've been called to what? Freedom, liberty. We've been called. That's what God's designed us for, to be free and to be liberated. But what God says is, okay, now be careful, in that liberation, so in other words, you go to the refrigerator, you're free in Jesus' name. You can take anything out of there you want. But then he says what? Don't use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh or as an opportunity to feed the idol of self. You see that? And then, if you really want to destroy the idol of self, drag him off, crucify him, the key is in that verse. What is it? Serve others. An example. We were in Baker, California. I think it was Thanksgiving time or Christmas. I don't remember which holiday it was. But all of our kids are adults, and they were all gone, and we're in this little itty-bitty town, and it would be easy for self to get up there and go, you have no family. You have nobody to cook a turkey dinner for. I mean, Daryl and I could cook one leg of a turkey, and that'd be good for us, you know, but it's just kind of hard to cook one leg, you know, and so what did we do? So to defeat the idol of self, we said, we're going to go serve somebody else. We went into the prison and had Thanksgiving with the men. Where they were complaining of the food, we were thankful for the food. We had all these of our boys, we call them, all our church boys. And, you know, we were able to go there and sit there and have a wonderful time. Of course, I picked where we're going to sit. I didn't know this, but I clicked the black table. The table that only black people sit on, that table. And then somebody, one of the guys of the church kind of came over and said, Chaplain, only black people sit at this table. And I said, I don't see a sign. And we just stayed there and kept eating. You know, we even had so much food, Darylin went to the kitchen and says, I need a doggy bag. I want to take some food home. The kitchen had to call the warden at home to find out, can we do that? Because in prison, they don't let you do that. They don't even let you take food out of the kitchen. You know? And so, here's how you defeat yourself by serving, loving, and serving others. Now, here's how it works. Look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What would self like? Self would like to feel love. Self would like to, you know, to feel that way. And so if you love yourself, you're going to love your neighbor. You love the neighbor first. But we have a habit of loving self first. Okay? And so in verse 14, you can fulfill it. Notice what it says. Self doesn't come first, does it? So like the men, I tell them, you go into your locker, you see a honey bun there, and you hear God, and God says, give that honey bun away. And what does self do? That's when you find out where self is at. He gets up and says, whoa, wait a minute here. Let me break it in half and see which half is bigger, and I'll give away the littler one. You know, self, he's tricky. He's sneaky. You know, and I told them, what would happen? Wouldn't you like somebody to bless you with a Coca-Cola? Wouldn't you like them to bless you with a honey bun? Well, if you love yourself and you think, man, I would like that, then you go do it. And what would happen? The love of God would start radiating out in this city. When we go to Sonic, pretty much every time, I try to make sure that those guys or girls, whoever serves me, I give them the leftover change. Now, you know self's on the altar when it's like $8.02, and all you have is $9, and you're like, well, wait a minute here, God, how about I'll give them a quarter? But I made it a point in making sure I'm establishing him on the throne to say, Lord, every time I go, I want to bless those people. And Darylin will tell you, Manny will tell you, they treat me good. And they all remember me. And they always have my drink, and they always bring me a big handful of the mints. You know? And I've seen them at times, they run back in to make sure they get my order, to bring my order out. I never sit there very long. Somehow my order gets... Well, you know, look, that's what it's all about. Getting self off and establishing Jesus Christ on the throne of your heart. Why do people not tithe? It's the idol of self. Self goes, now wait a minute. I know out of the $10 I have, God wants $1, but that would buy me a honey bun and I've got to feed self. And there's no easy way to get him off. What did Paul say? I have been what? Crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. And the life that he lives in the flesh, what does he say? I live in faith to the Son of God. Because Paul crucified himself. That's not pretty. It's ugly. It's hard. It's discipline. But if we understand who God really is, he's for us, not against us. He searched out a great place for us. Then that's what happens. Now watch. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Where do you think fighting comes from? It comes from the idol of self. It doesn't come from anything. It's just self. I want this and I want it this way. And that's where it comes from. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, self, the lust of the flesh, the passions and the desires, that's what the idol of self wants. I want 5 more hours playing this game on the computer. I want 5 more hours of sleep. I want this girl. I want this guy. I want this money. I want. That's the idol of self. God's asking, let's confront it, get it crucified over and over and over. And the more you do that, the more then you are feeding and establishing the Spirit of God, and then you'll walk in the Spirit, led by Him, not by the passions of your own heart and your own flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There it is. The idol of self is at war with the Spirit of God. And like I told you, the self has had many years of establishing itself as the idol there that we worship. And by worshiping, we feed its passion, we feed its desire. It keeps us from living a disciplined life. It keeps us from reading the Word. It keeps us from praying. It keeps us, we'll see. Look at verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. What he's saying is if you establish Jesus Christ on the throne in your heart, not just up there in heaven, get him on the throne of your heart. Then when the tithing comes, you want to tithe. You're not under the law. If self is still the idol, you get your money and you're like, oh yeah, I've got to tithe. Well, you're under the law. You're still under the idol of self, self-worship. But when you have Jesus established here, you're like, man, I get the tithe, because if I tithe, I get God will bless me. The promise of God is He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out such a huge blessing on you that you cannot contain it. Do you want that? Who cares about what people next to you want? Do you want that? I want that. I like that. You know, but it's been a long time and a hard time to get self off the throne. I was out, I've shared this story before, but I was out on the streets in California. We had a street ministry. Because I was a teacher in town, all the students knew me. And so I'm sitting on the back end of my tailgate of my pickup truck. We have all these flyers that we've made and Bibles to give away and everything. And I look over, and between Blockbusters and Carl's Jr., there's two gangs, and they're getting ready to fight. You know what I found? I heard God. Well, I don't know if I really heard him or more that I kind of saw him, and he's just like, you know, I want you to go. Go. And who do you think I found on the throne? Self. I don't know where he came from. He just came around the corner, jumped up there, and go, oh, wait a minute here. I'm a chicken. I see baseball bats, knives, and chains. I'm not going. That's the idol of self. And I had about a 5-minute wrestling match with him to get him, get back down here. Get off the throne, you know, pull the nails out again, hammer it down, get him down again. And then my friend, he says, we need to go over there, don't we? Yes. You know, here I was doing a Christian thing, but I found self on the throne again. And I had to crucify him again. And then we're walking over there. And then all of a sudden, I heard from the two gangs, somebody said, Bemis is coming. And my feet were saying, no, he isn't. He's running the other way. Self was right back up on the throne. God, would you reconsider this? I want to run right now. And I had to defeat him again. You know, that's not Satan. I'm here to tell you, too, I think Christians give Satan too much glory. Satan made me eat that extra Big Mac. No, he didn't. That was the idol of self. That was self getting up there going, feed me. You know, and he's, like I told you, he's like Buddha. You know, he's got a big old belly, and all he wants is for you to feed the passions and the desires of your flesh. Well, that's the root of pornography, the root of being addicted to the games, so we don't get anything else done. Now watch this. Verse 19, it's going to get worse. Now the works of the flesh, or the idol of self, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, and lewdness. Now look, that's all like internet stuff right now. Adultery, that's where you're with a married man or a married woman. And every Christian knows that's wrong. But the idol of self gets up inside the Christian and goes, feed me, that's my passion, my desire, that's what I want. And you have, there's no other option but to run up there, and you need to tackle him or her, and you need to nail him back down and say, no, I will not touch that, think about it, be tempted by it, because Jesus Christ is established on my throne. But why do we have so much of that problem in churches? We have as much of that problem with divorce. What's divorce? Somebody, it's the idol of self. The husband or the wife, or maybe both. And they've hardened their heart, and self says, nope, I don't want nothing else from that person. And we worship self. But what if you've got Jesus established there, then you hate divorce. And you'll have no part of that. Now, the other person might. They may file the papers, let them. They may run, let them. But who's established on your heart? Who's on the throne? And it's not that hard to figure this out as we look at this. What is fornication? That is people that are not married. And what do we see that we're hearing about so much now with the statistics? People have cameras on their phones and they're sending lewd pictures of each other to the opposite sex. They're on the internet and they're exposing themselves with webcams. That's just the idol of self. And self saying, this is what I want to do. But if we have Jesus established there, then we will not have anything to do with this stuff. Uncleanliness. Okay, verse 20. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Now look, hatred. Now, there's a lot of hatred in the church. A lot of fighting in the church. A lot of complaining in the church. Who's on the throne? The idol of self. A lot of anger and hatred in a marriage. Selfish ambitions are everywhere. That, what do you think? I don't know if you saw that, but all the executives from these car companies that want our tax dollars, billions of dollars, they fly in their own personal jets to Washington, D.C. And one senator says, what's up with that? That's selfish ambition. I know the problem with the car industry. The problem with the car industry is every time you walk in there, it's a big game for them to try to get you out of as much money as they can. And they're going to do it because they're going to talk to the idol of self. You need this. You need that. Ooh, baby, that car looks good on you. You know, look at that. Verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness. Drunkenness, look at that. Why are teenagers and everybody, it's such a big thing, and we have a lot of these different clubs, even in Big Spring, why are people going there? To feed the idol of self. To feed their passions, feed their desires. Oh, I'm just going to go look. And who's established on your throne? You know, and it all starts there. Okay? Now, we have rivalries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, oh, hallelujah, finally it's going to get good. Okay? If you will establish Jesus Christ as the sole proprietor, the sole owner of the throne in your heart, look what you get. And you get it instantly. The more and more you can defeat self and tear him down, crucify him, the more you get all of this fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You only get that, though, once you have made it a sound decision to every day dethrone self and to establish Jesus and worship him only. So, if you're not feeling loved, oh, I feel all alone. Oh, I don't have a dad. I don't have a mom. I don't have. Quit listening to self. Okay? If you have Jesus established on your throne, you have a king for a father. You have love. Because Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to come to you. But too many people that call themselves Christian leave Jesus on the throne in heaven. And they never establish him on the throne in their personal heart. And that's the root of all the problems that we're dealing with. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of having Jesus established on the throne in your heart is you will have joy. So why are so many Christians so cotton picking sad all the time? No energy. You say, brother, how are you doing today? Oh, well, what do you mean? You know, they're all negative and angry. You know, and then you say, well, how'd you sleep? Oh, I didn't sleep. I don't ever sleep very well. Well, God says right here, if you establish Jesus on the throne, you get peace. That even though I'm in pain all the time with my 6 screws in my neck, I have peace. I may be in pain, but in the spirit and in my heart and in my life, I have peace. So if self is on the throne, you don't have any of this. That's why I'm here to say I don't think there's a lot of Christians that have really established Christ on the throne. Otherwise, they would have joy, not happiness. Happiness is conditional on your circumstances. Something makes you funny and you laugh, you're kind of happy. But joy is deeply rooted in who is established on the throne of your heart. That's why every time you see some Christians, you're like, can they really be that happy all the time? And I've even had pastors, I've told you this before, pastors have spoken against me. Nobody can be that happy. He's got to be faking it. No, I got Jesus established. It doesn't mean that self doesn't run up there all the time and try to dethrone him. But I've determined in my heart that I'm going to help Jesus be king of the hill. And I'm not going to let anything throw him off, no matter what the circumstances are. Now, watch this. So you get love. So if you're lacking in the area of love, get Jesus established in your heart. If you lack joy, get Jesus established in your heart. If you lack peace, get him established in your heart. If you lack long-suffering, get him established in your heart. Kindness. We've got a lot of rude and unkind Christians because self is still on the throne. Self goes to somebody and goes, man, you got bad breath. You should go in love and go, have a breath mint. You should go in love and say, you know, gift wrap and secretly give them, a can of deodorant. Kindness. Where's the kindness in the church? Instead we go, kids, little kids. I told you, self is on the throne, right? I remember one of my kids, I think it was Leah, at 5 years old, walked up to my mom and go, why are you fat? Who's on the throne? Self, because they don't care what they do. But when you get Jesus on the throne, because I remember, this was so hard for me. This girl in 8th grade, she must have been like, I don't know, she was square. She was like 350 pounds. She was square. She literally could not walk through the door of my classroom straight. When she came in, she kind of went, and when she would sit down, stuff would hang way over the chair. And she would burp and fart out loud. And, of course, all the students made fun of her. And so, but she kept taking my class. I kept praying, Lord, please. You know, but she kept coming. And so I finally realized that, maybe God's not the problem here. Maybe there's something else wrong. Yeah, it's me. You know, get me off the throne. And so she came in one morning, and I went over and sat with her, and I said, what'd you have for breakfast this morning? She said, I had 2 tall glasses of milk and a package of double-stuffed Oreo cookies. Ay, ay, ay. So I started working with her. I started giving her some goals. God says that as she, we're going to get her, I got her with a Christian doctor. We've had the nurse talk with her. We started teaching her nutrition. And I said, as soon as you get down, 2 dress sizes, I had some people that were going to buy her a new dress. See, that's kindness. That's kindness. kindness. But what do Christians do? I don't want to be seen with you. You're going to ruin my image. Ooh, the holy hush just fell. Goodness. Faithfulness. Verse 23. Gentleness. Now look at this next one. What's the next one? Self-control. Now how come there's so many Christians that have no self-control? Because Jesus is not established on the throne of your heart. Somebody pulls out in front of you. You give them no grace. You want to run them off the road. You know, you find self behind the wheel real quick, huh? You know, you want to start cussing them out, flipping them some fingers. You know, and I mean, that's just, there you go like self, get off the throne. You know, and you kick him off. You tackle him. You crucify him. Nothing pretty about it. There's nothing easy about it. Get over it. And it says then, crucify, let's see, verse 22, goodness, faithfulness, verse 23, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. Verse 24, why is all this happening? And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its what? Passions and its desires. I'm here to tell you, I bet you, you're going to find this next week, self is on the throne a whole lot. But if you will start running up the hill, tackling him, nailing him down to the floor again, and establish Jesus, your Christian walk is all of a sudden going to start getting easier and easier and better, and it's going to have all these fruits in there. Love, self-control. Are we listening? Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That means if I have Jesus Christ living and established on the throne of my heart, then I will not only live there, I will walk in the Spirit then. But until that happens, when self is on the throne, you will walk in defeat. You'll cuss somebody out and go, man, where did that come from? Well, it came from self. Don't blame it on Satan. Don't give him a bunch of glory. Okay? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's go ahead and stand.